He's going to read the scripture we're covering this morning.
My eyes are getting old. We're going to read from Ephesians 3, 1 to 13. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, when you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and the prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles and their heirs, together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purposes that he has accomplished in Christ our Lord. In him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
It's the Lord's word.
Amen.
Thank you, Sonia. Isn't her voice much more lovely to listen to than mine? It's one of the reasons I married her. Got a great voice. We just heard from Ephesians. And this is a global message, and so I brought this little icon of the globe, and it's one color. It's actually stolen from one of my wife's crafts projects that she's doing. But it's sort of the image. This is a message that's come to the Church of Ephesus, but it's far greater than the Church of Ephesus. It would have been distributed among many churches. It would have been taken down by a scribe from Paul in prison and distributed around the churches over time. It's wonderful that these letters have been included in the Bible because it means that we, 2,000 years later, on the other side of the globe, get to look at them and understand them and consider them. So together we can explore Paul's God-given insights and revelations with the intent to discover if these words still apply to us today and do they still have life. Personally, I'm passionate about the discovery process of God-breathed Scripture. But it would be in my prayer that it be Christ in you that would be awakened this morning. We are all capable to be awakened to the voice of creation, no matter what has happened to you in your life. At this point, we are all born to hear his voice. No amount of tragedy, poverty, wealth, or brokenness, or illness, or addiction, or abuse can separate or divide you from the presence of your Creator. Sleepiness and snoozing are one of my favorite pastimes, as my family can attest. I've actually recently learned it actually might be a medical condition, but as long as I can remember, I can fall asleep anywhere. I can fall asleep at a bus stop. I can fall asleep anywhere. I've fallen asleep for 3 fillings in my life. And to me, it's been a blessing, but the problem with that is that that's physical sleepiness, but we have spiritual sleepiness. And we need to be woken up. God wakes me up when he speaks into my life. It's been my experience that when God speaks to an individual by the presence of Christ within them, it will raise the dead, restore the ears of the angry or the indifferent, or soften the hardest hearts and tear down the walls of separation and hate. This is my sort of second time preaching on this scripture, but it's a little different this time. But it's not my first time delivering a message about the Apostle Paul. I'm so excited to reach out for God's application of this message today in your lives. Strengthening the body of believers is close to my own heart, primarily because it was close to Christ's heart first. Today's scripture has been one of the most challenging and significant scriptures for me to preach on to date, as I believe it strikes over so precisely at one of the most transformational barriers most of us will ever face in our life, certainly faced within a faith journey. For the purpose of today's message, I am talking about the difference between exclusive and inclusive, or more definitively, in a definitive tense, exclusivity or inclusivity. So with a combination of word searching and studying for meaningful application, I came up with a description of these two words that I believe will bring meaning to your heart as we move through Paul's words to both the world and us individually. I'll repeat these two descriptions twice to elevate their importance in this message. Exclusivity, being the distinct nature of most of us to divide, separate, exclude, set apart, discourage, destroy, or marginalize. Inclusivity, being the distinct nature that Christ has placed in each of us to unify, harmonize, include, encourage, combine, connect, and love with strengths, diversity, and equality. I will read these two descriptions one more time. I want you to think about what they raise in you. If there's an emotion there, anything that comes up, let it come up. Exclusivity, being the distinct nature within most of us to divide, separate, exclude, set apart, discourage, destroy, or marginalize. Inclusivity, being the distinct nature that Christ has placed in each of us to unify, harmonize, include, encourage, combine, connect, and love with strength, diversity, and equality. What emotions come up for you as I read those two lists of behaviors? To be included or to be excluded? Are there feelings that come up, possibly of guilt, hurt, or anger? For some, there may even be emotions of joy, peace, and perhaps gratitude when they've been included. Which one of those words jumps out at you or wakes you up? Exclusive or inclusive? For many of us, we'll be able to relate to both of those words and the emotions that come with those words because we have a lifetime experience with those two words. We are people that live by emotions and experience. We have a memory that reminds us of our past experiences and feelings. They often prepare us for what we might experience in the future, or as we live one moment by one moment, or from one experience to the next. For example, last time I visited First Baptist Church, I was very well received and included. That memory transfers forward of what I might expect when I come here another time. In fact, it is my passionate belief that we are profoundly connected to those experiences and emotions of being excluded or included. Even a newborn babe knows the difference between separated from a loving embrace or being connected to a loving embrace. Every preschooler, grade schooler, teen understands the basic principles of being included in a group of peers or excluded in a group of peers. At a very young age, children are able to exercise their instincts to include themselves or exclude themselves from a particular people or group of people. Being included or being excluded with certain people or groups is something we experience daily. The extreme popularity of Facebook is a testament to that. People associate themselves with a group or not. I like this or I don't. Our beliefs about self combined with our beliefs about others is what makes up our closest relationships and our relationships with our neighbors and even about the churches we go to. So let's look at the life of Paul as an example. According to the writings in the New Testament, Paul, who was first called Saul, was dedicated to the persecution of the disciples of Jesus in the area of Jerusalem. Saul was extremely committed to capturing, imprisoning, and murdering anyone who included themselves as the ones following Christ. He did not associate himself with Christ's followers. One commentary actually defines Saul as a religious terrorist. This extreme lawyer, known as Saul at the time, knew the difference of which group he included himself with and which group he did not in the most profound ways and actions. Saul knew in great detail how to divide, separate, exclude, set apart, discourage, destroy, and marginalize the people that were different from him. In fact, it is a pattern that's not exclusive to Paul. It's a pattern that's true for all of mankind of all of history. But it's during this time in Christian history, in Saul's life, as he exercised his personal vendetta and divided and separated the world based on his beliefs, that God showed up. We read in the book of Acts that while Paul was traveling on the road to Jerusalem, to Damascus, on a mission to, and I quote Acts, bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem, followers, that is, followers of Christ, that the resurrected Jesus appeared to him in a great light. He was struck blind, but after 3 days his sight was restored by Aeneas of Damascus, and Paul began to preach that Jesus of Nazareth, the Jewish Messiah, is the Son of God. I just love that about the Bible. In one paragraph, we got a guy who's been running around murdering people, and something happened, and everything changed. And if we breeze over that, we're going to miss how huge that is. For even the most conservative minds, it is safe to say that Saul, who will forever be known as Paul, has made an attitude shift. More expressively and more accurately, we can say there has been a shift in history. We're going to pray for that scripture for a moment here. Father, you have included an important story over 2,000 years ago on the other side of the globe for us to consider this morning. One man who'd set his life upon destroying your creation met you, and everything changed. Help us to hear this story, Father. Thank you for this story. So we ask ourselves, what does it take to have this kind of shift in personal experience to so radically change one person's passionate desire to exclude and imprison to include and set free? The entire answer to that question is a timeless mystery, only to be answered by God, by his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in their way, for their reasons, on their timing. The reality of that is just as real to us now as it was for Paul in that encounter with Jesus 2,000 years ago. On an isolated road to Damascus, God revealed himself in splendor and spirit and left Paul physically blind for 3 days, but changed in spirit forever. So we are going to listen again to Ephesians 3, 1 through 13, but this time it's over an audio recording. I find it very helpful to hear the scripture twice, and it's going to be done differently. I did it similar to the last time I was here. But before we do that, there's some words I want you to listen for as that scripture comes forward. It'll help you draw your attention and listen to the reading that might be helpful. Listen for the words grace, mystery, made known, revelation, other generations, revealed, gift of God, make plain, everyone, his intent, manifold wisdom, freedom, confidence, and eternal purpose.
Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
That particular site's called Biblica. It's easy to get on the internet if you ever want to listen to scripture in that format. In my study notes of the NIV Bible, it states that Roman law gives an adopted child every right and privilege to a birth child. This may be helpful to some to relate to the scripture as related to their personal experience. It certainly was the case for me 18 years ago. As I weighed in on the trials of infertility and my wife suggested to me to adopt a child, I had to come to terms with raising a child that wasn't of my blood. And any turmoil that I had or any strife I had or any disagreement I had in my body evaporated very, very quickly as we approached that baby in the nursery of the hospital. And instantly, I knew. That wasn't going to be a problem anymore. While it was quickly evident to us that a newly adopted daughter would be a full family member in our family, it was only in time that she would discover that reality for herself. Watching my daughter come to understand and claim her identity in our family was a great joy and relief to us. We have personally witnessed the trials and struggles of both adopted children and birth children finding their identity in the families, and that can be a tough road. Surprisingly, it has been our daughters that have often reminded us of the importance of staying connected with our extended families, with our friends, and our churches. The context of this particular scripture leads us to the joining of both Jew and Gentile through the very same entry point onto common ground of Jesus' love and grace. The Jew and the Gentile, the birthright and the adopted, the exclusive and the separated, are to become unified under one name, Jesus Christ. This word from Paul also informs us that this was not always the case. While it was prophesied to be in the Old Testament, it was not understood or revealed by God in generations previous to this one in Paul's time. This was a brand new knowledge of the Jew and the Gentile. And because of the transformation Paul has had after his intimate meeting with Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul is released to the world to explain the mystery of Christ's invitation to us, the Gentiles. This is knowledge and wisdom that you and I would not have had access to until the point that Christ became a replacement sacrifice on the altar of God. Make no mistake, these words have a timeless and global and even universal consequence. But none of this will make any difference or strike any chord in us until we have each individually met with Christ on the road to Damascus, our own road to Damascus. Those lonely moments, those challenging moments. Where are you, God? What's happening next? Our battle with separation of our spirit does not begin in the world, it begins in here. Consider for a moment that exists within each of us, a spiritual terrorist, hell-bent on separating, discouraging, imprisoning unity and love. The spiritual tyranny of this character establishes a barrier inside of us that imprisons us not only to our birthrights of our family and our faith, but also the nature of our primal identity. That identity is Christ-given identity. It's a character that's passionate about bringing about unity and equality and freedom and diversity into the communities of our lives, in our homes, at work, at school, at church, and beyond our cities and into our nations. In spite of that captive nature of the shadow leader inside of us, and I'm talking about the shadow leader inside of us, not the one that was described in Sunday school, and the barrier that it uses to obscure the truth about the world outside of us, we are somehow aware of the destructive imbalance that excluding slowly plays out in each of our lives. With the dividing stone walls that we have built over the millenniums in the many nations and countries of this world, we have been able to separate people, race, religion, heritage, to enter their exclusive groupings. In 10 days, we will remember those lost in the fight to establish separation. Even countries and provinces and states have succumbed to be divided within themselves. East, west, north and south, coastal, interior. But it doesn't stop there, it goes much further. Black, white, French, English, rich, poor, immigrant, native, Christian, Muslim, gay, straight, floor workers, management. My school is better than your school. Seniors, juniors, but it doesn't stop there. It's even within the family. Your family, my family. Mom and Dad always did love you more. I hate the way you look. And even within yourself, I hate the way I look. And most definitively, we can also convince ourselves that the lives of the ones I love would be better off without me. That's the barrier. Are we getting the picture? Because I could go on all day, but I won't. In order for those walls of stone and concrete to exist upon earth, they must first be established inside of us. In Ephesians 2:14, there is an important word about this wall that resides in our bodies that Christ came to remove. It reads, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall, a partition between us." The message reads it this way. The Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now together on this, both non-Jewish and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall we used to keep each other at a distance. And so I ask you, is Christ addressing the nation in these words? Is he addressing the removal of prejudice between Jew and Gentile? Or is God talking to you right now about matters of the heart? More specifically, matters of your heart. You decide this morning. I've made up my decision. For me personally, I know this. When I'm in trouble physically, socially, mentally, financially, I have an incredible tendency to start establishing a wall inside of me where I don't want you to know what's going on in my life. And so I've brought these bricks today to just sort of demonstrate that. And sort of without anybody knowing, I'm placing these bricks inside of me. I don't want you to know what's going on in my life. My natural tendency is to establish that wall, not to lean on community, not to lean on the strength of Christ, as your monthly Bible verse has said. I, on my own accord, will build that wall inside me. But I'm not here this morning to beat you up even more than you've already beaten yourself up on these matters. I'm here to share the revelation of God's mystery in Christ, and that he is willing and able to begin the removal process, remove those process of those barriers inside you. So how do you know if those barriers are working in you right now? Here's a test I derived. How does your spirit feel when you berate yourself? Does something inside of you shrivel up? I hate the way I look. I've always been stupid. I'm horrible at this. Does something shrivel up inside of you when you say those words, or even when I say them? Here's some more. How do you respond in your body when you hear the words that separate one person from another, or one group from another? She doesn't belong with us. They're not welcome here in this group. I wish they'd go back to where they came from. Does something feel like it dies a little inside of you when you hear this? Does the wall get a little higher and maybe a little thicker? Do you become anxious when faced with being around someone you do not understand or who is polar opposite personality to your character and lifestyle? There are hundreds of examples of exclusion that we are faced with daily if we really stop and look and be honest with yourself in that list. So how do you know if you're already to receive the free gift of Christ's wall-breaking work inside of you? These are the witness moments of clarity and freedom. They are moments with grace-filled equality, identity, and light. And let me give you another hint of what I'm talking about. It's what sets your heart ablaze in the blink of an eye. It what causes you to breathe deeply and maybe even skip a beat in your heart when you're witnessing something you couldn't believe could happen, something wonderful, something that includes, something that sets someone free, something that sets you free. I'll give you some examples, and I have already. When I wasn't sure if I could adopt a child, when I wasn't sure if I could parent a child, I took one look at that kid and I knew. I took one look at McKenna and I knew. Those are moments. The freedom of Christ is working in each of us, and it's groundbreaking, and it's earth-shattering, and it's barrier-destroying work. While it's clear that these walls and barriers exist inside of us, it's what happens when Christ breaks down and removes those icons of separation that's really the center of this story. I believe that God uses good people like Paul to be the wake-up call of Christ's transformative work. Look at the walls of separation that Pope Francis is opening up and tearing down. He is shaking the global view of charity, humility, honesty to the core. It's an earthquake of hope for our generation. Martin Luther King broke through barriers of racism not even two generations ago, and we're still talking about it today. Gandhi tore down political strongholds with only a few words of hope and a mountain of passion and understanding and the use of nonviolence as a universal code of love. My wife, Sonia, daily receives the everyday people facing extreme opposition and separation from community, self-loathing, and equality, and with reassurance that their lives count in the community of God. Receiving a new pair of shoes and a bag of groceries have brought some of the people she meets to tears and dancing in her office. Young Life rails against the idea that the scratches and dents that our youth receive in an often cruel world does not make individuals less valuable in the eyes of Christ, but more. My daughter, McKenna, and her friends understand this implicitly, and a God is awake inside of them. So when you're ready to see the walls between us all, the mysterious love of Christ will be there within you, ready to open your eyes and set you free from your internal captors. Without Christ, I am reduced to spiritual terrorism, exclusivity, separation from God and his people, complete blindness. But with him, the joy and freedom of Christ is this: prejudice eradicated, tyranny abolished, the murderer to become the sanctified, the separated to become the unified, the marginalized to become the integral, and the hate of self becomes the love of others. These words are for us all, the Gentile, the sick, the weak, the different, the unincluded, the abandoned, the joyless, and the hopeless. He came for every one of us, the Jewish, the Gentile, the birthright and the adopted, the excluded and the included, the sick and the strong, and the hopeless and the joyful. Rejoice, I say, rejoice, because Jesus has removed the wall that separates us from God and from each other. How does Christ do it? I do not know. I just know that he does. Amen. Let's pray.